Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Embry.
That would be really weird, but I know exactly where that is.
Do you? Hold on. I didn't look for a location.
That is the home of one Reverend Rob Falk.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Did not know that.
That's where the Falk compound, where it all happened, where it all started, right there in Embry, Mississippi.
I just picked it at random, man. I did not have any foreshadowing or knowledge of this situation. So
you will find a Falk Road in Embry, in downtown Embry.
It's in downtown Embry.
Downtown Embry.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
There is no downtown. It's all country.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But a very legendary place, home of a legendary man.
Big Daddy.
And a lot of great memories out there.
Did not know that. Well, yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Full transparency, we are recording on a Saturday afternoon. We wanted to have a nice day to ourselves on Sunday, and my nice day to myself is going to involve pot roast. It's going to be a smoked pot roast.
Not
Mississippi pot roast.
It's fine. I don't know if I can ever go back to regular pot roast.
I love it, but Aislinn, my oldest daughter, there's something about the flavor of it, and you know she eat with her. You know, she's got so many triggers for that. So
it might be the peppercini.
It might be, but I'm just going to do like a normal pot roast, but I'm going to do it on the grill.
I'm sure that's going to be just fine.
I'm excited.
Did you kick the eye around?
No, I got a couple. They didn't have any.
Oh, okay.
So I got a couple of chuck roasts. I got about 4 pounds worth of chuck roast.
So, you cannot beat that, my friend.
Can't go wrong. And you can't go wrong either when beef is the star of your menu, your cookouts, your weeknight dinners, whenever it is. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. We are a month away. This is Father's Day weekend in June. Don't get left out in the cold. Don't get dad another soap on the rope or a 3-pack of skin bracer. Nobody wants that. What they want is some new gear from College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow of the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be over at Restaurant Tyler. You can enjoy the best lunch in the city of Starkville. If you are a blue plate person, and I am a blue plate person, there's not a better one in Starkville. There's not a better one in Mississippi than the one you're going to get at Restaurant Tyler. Fried catfish, fried chicken, pork chops, hamburger steak, whatever it is you want. Great selection of veggies and fantastic cornbread. It's all right there for you. It's an affordable, easy, delicious lunch. Go get it this week. If you're in Starkville or you're near Starkville at lunchtime, head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but they're going to show you how they help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when it's important to know things about your money on your schedule, you need a bank that provides that kind of service. That level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A buddy of mine, our official Thunder and Lightning officiating review specialist, I forget exactly what his title is, but our friend Bill Reno tweeted out.
He is the Thunder and Lightning correspondent.
Officiating correspondent. Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you. He tweeted this out. It makes a lot of sense.
And is almost always correct.
Yes, he knows his stuff.
He does.
It's hard to believe that of the three games this weekend, the one that finished 25-7 wasn't a run rule.
I was going to mention that exact thing.
And what an incredible stat.
That drove both of us crazy because we could have done our podcast about an hour earlier,
yeah.
And State gives up the 10-run lead or whatever, and then they just absolutely explode after they score 10 runs.
In the ninth, yes.
Yeah, but you follow that up with two run rule wins in games that the offense, I don't want to say it was worse because it was pretty freaking good the last 2 days.
Yeah.
But you didn't score 25 runs in those two. So, man. But the weekend as a whole, as bad as Missouri is, and this is definitively to me the worst SEC team in the history of SEC baseball from a results standpoint for sure, and they might be one of the least talented. As bad as they are, if you're throwing batting practice, it would be hard to give up 50 runs the way that we saw that. It's not like they were just walk. I mean, they didn't have a ton of walks this weekend, a lot of hit batters, they had some defensive miscues. State was just absolutely locked in. I think this has more to do with State and where they are offensively right now. And, you know, from a mindset standpoint, it has as much to do with that as the fact that Missouri is just a bad baseball team.
You look at they played Georgia, who's a really good team, right? One of the top 10 teams in the country. Georgia scored 9, 5, and 4 in those three games. They played, I'm just looking at the games they played at home. They played Texas, right? Texas scored 15, 7, and 7. They played Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss got some runs on them, 9, 17, and 14. But this is by far the most. And I think it goes back kind of to what we were talking about, that we said all last week that we wanted Missouri to get at least one win out of Texas A&M because that might put them in a position where they're less like, all right, let's just get this season over with. If they had come in 0-27, they would have been scrapping, trying. They didn't want to go winless, right? Mm-hmm. Once they got those wins, I think they kind of shut down a little bit. They're like, eh. And then you take advantage of a Mississippi State team that is the opposite of that. They are locked in right this second. They're playing their best baseball. 9-1 since the decision to move on from Chris Lemonis, with 4 run rule victories, I believe was the stat.
That's correct.
I mean, that's – I don't really care who you're playing. And they've got good wins in there. You've got 3 wins over Kentucky. That's a top 40 RPI team. 2 wins over Ole Miss. That's a top 20 RPI team. So State's playing its best baseball. Missouri just wanted to get the hell out of Dodge. And that's the confluence that ends up with 3 games that go 25-7, 13-3, and 12-1. And now you move on to the SEC tournament. And Mississippi State is now a team – I don't know what's going to happen in Hoover this week. I really don't. But right now, everybody's looking at Mississippi State going, I hope they're not in our region.
Do not want to play them.
Yeah.
108-42 is how State has outscored opponents in the last 10 games. And
pretty impressive.
We were wrong about some things with this team, but I think there is a caveat to make. Well, we talk about this team a few weeks ago. They're not making a regional.
Right.
I don't think they make a regional with Chris Lemonis. I don't. Yeah, I don't think they sweep Kentucky. I don't know if they would have beaten Ole Miss or not.
Right.
And, you know, he's lost this Missouri team in a series twice.
Yeah.
So
somebody tweeted at us last weekend and said, I'm glad the team hasn't given up like Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk said they were going to. And I couldn't resist. I was just like, you realize they fired the coach.
That's
right?
A game-changing.
That's a huge – that changes everything. Anything that has made prior is not relevant anymore.
That has made all the difference for this team. And, again, I said this the other day, it's not that Mississippi State lost Chris Lemonis in the dugout. I mean, you could probably make that argument if you're a State fan. I'm sure a lot of people would, but I think it has more to do with the fact that this team just has come together and they are playing very loose. They're not that this looked like a team that was playing really tight this year. They were playing like a team that had a lot of pressure on them. And I think whenever Chris Lemonis was fired, they said, screw it. Let's just go play ball.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing. I mean, every at bat appears to be competitive. Every single player that comes up is having competitive at bats, is locked in the zone, is waiting on their pitch. I thought in all 3 games as bad as this Missouri staff is, in all three games, they scouted every single pitcher correctly and had the perfect response to whatever they were getting. And it wasn't like this team was just picking up a bunch of walks and hit batters and errors. This team was just laser focused and they were driving the ball out of the yard. 15 home runs, 50 runs. This was the
six different people hit home runs, six different Bulldogs, I believe.
Five or six. I can't remember exactly, but you get four home runs from Hunter Hines. You get four home runs from Ace Reese. It was the most offensive, and if you're a Missouri fan, the most offensive SEC series in Mississippi State history. They've never scored 50 runs in a series, as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. And it was the second most offensive series this season. Arkansas did 51 against Missouri earlier this year. But this is, in my opinion, the best coaching job by Jake Gautreaux. And I don't think that we've given him enough credit this year. When everybody has, you know, dogged him over the last few years for Mississippi State's offensive miscues.
They've been pretty good this year.
He deserves all the credit in the world. This is probably, at this point, the second best batting average in the league. Mm-hmm. They're coming up on 100 home runs. They're going to break the school record in home runs. It's a very deep lineup, a lineup that has very few holes in it, no matter who they've put in it. They had two injuries this week, and they still managed to do what they did. I think Jake Gautreaux deserves a lot of praise this year for the job that he's done for Mississippi State's offense. Because, again, if you're going to talk about the down times and blame him for those moments, mm-hmm. you got to give him his flowers for this team. And it all started with what they did in the offseason. And I talked about this early in the season. I felt like this offense could have more power in it than it did last year. And that sounded strange to say when you take away Dakota Jordan and Connor Hyzak, and even David Mershon showed some power at times last year. But I really felt like this team had the ability to be more productive at the plate, to get – and first of all, very few holes in it, and you can kind of pitch – you're going to have to pitch players differently than what you did last year. When you had Hunter Hines and Dakota Jordan in the black hole that they were in last year, late in the year, mm-hmm. it changed everything with the entire offense. You got to pitch to those guys now. You got to pitch to the Hunter Hines of the world and the Ace Reeses because you got guys surrounding them that can hit. And it's really made for a explosive offense at times. I think this is one of the best offenses in the league. And to me, it's the best offense that Jake Gautreaux has coached. I think he deserves a lot of credit. They're kind of carrying the team right now. We've seen some good offense, good pitching performances. Mm-hmm. But I think the offense is really what's carrying the team. It's allowing for some more confidence for the pitching staff and the defense. But those are going to be the things that send Mississippi State over the top. Because I think this offense is going to be a very difficult out in the regional and in postseason. The pitching and the defense is going to be what gets them beyond a regional. If they can find enough innings from their starter, and they can dig deep and get more out of Pico Khan in the postseason, and Carson Ligon can deliver what he has the last two games. Hey, Charlie Foster is huge. Getting him back, a guy that hadn't pitched for 2 months.
I wanted to hit on that. I had three things I wanted to hit on, and Charlie Foster was number one on the list because we've talked about State's bullpen. It's been kind of inconsistent. It's had some times where it looks really good. These last 3 weekends, it's looked great. You know, McPherson, Davis, Nate Williams, Stone Simmons has been kind of up and down, but you know he can give you an inning or so. Getting Foster back is a huge, huge deal for Mississippi, especially for a kid that we had so much potential coming in, and then the injuries have just gotten him. You made the comment, I think, on your message board that once he shakes a little rust off, I think if State can make it to Wednesday, I'm pretty sure State's going to play on Tuesday right now. If they do, I would start him on Wednesday. I would let him try to knock some rust off right there.
If you win Tuesday.
Tuesday, throw him out there on Wednesday. Let's see what happens. If he gets shelled, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Right now, looks like Florida is going to lock up the 10 seed. They're up 9-2 on Bama. And it looks like Texas is going to beat Oklahoma. So State looks like they're going to be the 11 and okay. Playing. That would be A&M that they would play
yeah.
on Tuesday. favorable matchup, I think, for State. An A&M team that has very little confidence at the plate right now. Now, it's a very talented team.
You didn't tell me, Robbie. I guess you knew this. I didn't know this, though. You did. When did Brian Bohannon become an assistant at Texas A&M? Because that is the only reason I'm accepting that Texas A&M got swept by this Missouri team. They threw the games.
He was out there just calling it in.
What's going on?
I have absolutely no idea how that happened. Like, that just from a pure talent perspective, like, they should have been able to just kind of luck into it. I mean, Missouri gave up, I think, two or three hits on game three.
Yes.
They gave up two or three hits in game two. This Missouri staff was just god-awful. I don't know if I've ever seen a worse pitching staff in the SEC. They were really bad. But it was kind of strange. Like, they competed in the strike zone. There just wasn't a whole lot of walks. State just teed off on them.
You want to hear a stat?
Sure.
State scored more runs in the ninth inning on Thursday than Texas A&M scored all weekend in Missouri.
Gross.
How is that possible? How is it possible that A&M, like, oh, God. All right, so Foster back was my first point. Second point, I may have to make a concession to you. I think I may have been wrong about something that you were right about. Ace Reese might be the Ferris Trophy winner.
Yes.
I mean, the weekend he had this weekend did nothing but bolster his case. I didn't realize he was leading the SEC in home runs, or at least he was at one point this weekend. He's tied
with Andrew Fisher, unless Fisher has hit one today.
And so when you look at the stats, it makes a very compelling case. I still think Middleton's going to win it because he's been the ace pitcher on the best team in Mississippi this year. But you can make a very, very compelling case for Ace Reese. I kind of was dismissive. I was like, nah, it's going to be Middleton. I don't know now.
He has been really, really good. And it's the thing about Ace Reese is it's not just home runs for him. He's kind of doing it all. I mean, he's fifth in the SEC in batting average. This was after yesterday's game, so he's actually going up. He was 7 for 11, I think, this weekend. Four home runs, three doubles, five walks.
Probably SEC Player of the Week. I mean, I don't.
He's going to be the SEC Player of the Week. I mean, he's first team All SEC for sure. I'm trying to think who else is contending for SEC Player of the Year, because let's see, he's
Fisher.
He's top five in batting average, top five in hits. He's now got 76 hits. Slugging percentage is tops in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even really considered it to this point, but he really does have a little bit of an argument. He's tied with Andrew Fisher for home runs. RBI top five in the league. He's top five in a lot of categories, tops and leagues and total bases. That's about it. But I mean, he's got a compelling case for the top player in the SEC this year. And it's been an amazing season. 759 slugging percentage coming into yesterday, which is
through it here. So Reese, fifth in batting average. He leads the league in slugging. On base, he's not in the top 10, but Noah Sullivan is. He's third in OPS. He is in hits. He's not on the hits? Okay.
Yes, he's RBI. Top five hits.
Did I miss him?
Yes. He's tied for fifth, of all people.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I don't know what Charles DeVellian or one of the Alloy brothers has done. He's like five or six hits behind those guys. So he's battling for that too.
Yeah. He was
second in the league.
This is not up to date either. This is from yesterday.
He's second in league in doubles. I mean,
yeah, he's fourth.
He's top five essentially. He's the only guy that's top five in all of those categories. So I think he has a very compelling case. And I did not consider that to this point until you're looking at these numbers. And the numbers are they're nuts. I mean, he is having one of the best offensive seasons since Brent Rooker, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that would be the closest. I mean, Brent Rooker's Triple Crown is probably the last season.
Tanner Allen had a good year, but he didn't have
Tanner Allen, SEC Player of the Year in 2021.
But he didn't have the power numbers. He didn't have this many home runs.
So the updated look at what he's done this year, 365 average with a 1.19 OPS.
In case you're not a big analytics guy, not that guy, you know, you're still old school baseball guy. Anything over 1,000 is really, really good. 1.1, what was it? Say it again.
1.191.
That's really good.
And I mean, the thing about the state's offense is you have 1, 2, 3, 4 starters with an OPS over 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Hitting has not been the issue for state this year. It has definitely been some unreliability in the bullpen and starting pitching.
But 76 hits now for Reese, 18 doubles, 19 doubles, because he had another one today, 21 home runs, 66 RBI. Mm-hmm. The slugging percentage is over 760 now with 25 walks. And he's struck out 44 times, but that's in 206 at bats. He has not been bad as far as the strikeouts.
When this your OPS is 1.2, basically, it means you don't strike out a ton. So.
It's been an amazing year. I think you got to do whatever it takes to keep him. You know he's getting that's the elephant in the room. You know that he's getting offers from everybody. This is an Andrew Fisher situation from last year with Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas A&M, LSU, Tennessee, they're all going to inquire about him.
Yeah.
Already are.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come up with a lot of money for him. And the hope is you hire a really, really good coach. And he wants to play for him for another season because this is a bona fide, like, he's a pro. He is an MLB guy, without a doubt to me.
We'll be a first-round pick wherever he is.
Yes.
After next season.
And it would be nice for Mississippi State if it was here.
Yes, it would. So, great weekend for Mississippi State. As you mentioned, headed to Hoover now, likely taking on Texas A&M on Tuesday. So, for those of you, you know, we've brought it up on this show before, but I don't know if everybody knows. The SEC tournament is now a single elimination tournament throughout. It is all 16 teams will go, so even Missouri will be there. It would have been previous years, Missouri and South Carolina would have skipped out on this. Everybody is there this week, and you will play from Tuesday through, you know, for state to win, they're going to have to win Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to win 6 games in 6 days. So,
and I just don't think that that's like –
it seems unlikely.
Well, I don't think you want to. I mean, you want to win, but I don't think you want to have to play six games.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
6 games in 6 days. We saw that in 2012, and state was absolutely
they're out of gas.
Done.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the thing about these tournaments now is it just like. What's your thought process going in? John Cohen wanted to win the SEC tournament, and his teams would make runs. Chris Lemonis wanted to get out of there
as soon
as possible to work on the regional. And I don't think either one of those is wrong. I really don't. I don't know what the right thing is, but I don't think either one of those is wrong. John Cohen wanted to win a championship. Chris Lemonis was thinking big picture. He wanted to win a national championship. And it would be extremely difficult for this team to go win a national title playing 6 games in 6 days and turning back around and having to play again that next weekend.
So I just got to bring this up, which we'll get out of it for a second here, complete non sequitur. So Ole Miss is in the bottom of the ninth here. I don't know if you've got the live stats up. They have 2 on and 2 out. Everybody has swung at the first pitch. I've never seen this. Luke Hill flat out to left, first pitch. Unimark singles, first pitch. Furness singles, first pitch. Mormon flies out, first pitch. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Take a pitch.
But that's kind of their offense, isn't it?
It like is. They're hackers. There's no question.
They will battle at the plate, but a lot of times it's in the hole, 0-2, 1-2.
And now it's over. Ole Miss loses. That means they're probably not going to their hosting dreams just died right there, I think. They had to get
this. Auburn's probably good.
Auburn was already good, I think. I mean, they might have dropped down to like a 13-14 if they had gotten swept, but they were definitely going to host. So,
looking at the tournament, you've got Texas, obviously, they already won the SEC.
Yeah, Texas is the one.
Arkansas Arkansas and Vandy, did they played and Vandy won that series, did they not?
Arkansas and Vandy. Let me pull up the RPI here. Where's the RPI? I had it. There we go.
Which Arkansas, it's probably not going to matter because they're up 8-4 in the ninth, so they're going to get the 2 seed.
Yeah. Arkansas and Vanderbilt played each other, and Arkansas swept them.
Okay, it was a sweep. That's I couldn't remember if Vanderbilt beat them or not. Yeah. So Arkansas is the 2. Vandy, it would be Vandy and LSU tied. Nope, LSU already won. All that to say, there's kind of a jumbled mess in the middle, but State is waiting on Oklahoma and Florida.
Yeah.
And A&M.
If Florida loses, and then State would be jump up to like the 9, right?
If they'd be the 10.
The 10.
So if Florida and Oklahoma both lose, State's got the 10 seed.
Which means they don't play until Wednesday, right?
No, they would still play.
They play on Tuesday.
Yeah. They're playing Tuesday no matter what, but okay. Texas is leading Oklahoma 4-1 in the seventh. That one's still in reach, but 9-3 Florida in the seventh. It looks like that's – I would imagine that's going to hold for both teams.
Who's Florida playing?
Bama.
Okay.
And Bama's going to finish a game ahead of State, so State can't tie with them.
Okay.
So State is going to likely be the 11 seed.
State playing. Loses tiebreakers with Oklahoma and Florida, obviously. They lost both those series. So there you go.
Well – I think it goes – doesn't it go to – if it's a three-way tie, doesn't it go to, like, what your record was against the top teams in the league?
It might, but if that's the case, State got swept by Texas. They got swept by LSU.
Either way, State would have fallen to 12 if both those teams won. But State's probably going to be the 11, and they will play Texas A&M. That's the late game. So
State can basically just – put an end to Texas A&M season because A&M needs to win probably 3 or 4 games over in Hoover to have a chance at the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, at 11-19 in the league, I just don't think they're going to get in.
I'll see it. So
21 and no, that's their home record. What were they? 28-25.
No, come on. No, no. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother. Two great places to eat right there in the Cotton District. Fantastic. You know, the thing about the Cotton District is it's so unique. It's the best part of Starkville, in my opinion. It's what everybody talks about. And to have two restaurants of that caliber just right next door to each other, I mean, you can't beat it. That's what makes the Cotton District what it is places like that. So if you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you need to be at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years. One more time? There you go.
I said 50.
Okay. So like almost like a Ron Simmons thing going there.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. I like that.
What's going for?
If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And if you need service, guess what? It's the same phone number. It's the same people. You have the relationship. You're not talking to somebody you've never met. You're not making an appointment with someone who has never been with you. All right? Mississippi, helping Mississippi. That's what Advantage Business Systems does, and that's what they are. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're going to be here in Starkville, you need to shop at Maroon & Co. If you're not going to be in Starkville, you need to shop online at Maroon & Co. That's where you can get Dad the Father's Day gift that he really wants. A new polo, a new pullover, a new hat. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. The biggest and best selection of Mississippi State gear in Starkville. No one touches them. And best of all, we'll save you a little money with every purchase. Our promo code is THUNDER15. You save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions apply. I don't know what they are, but they are out there. If you're going to be in Starkville, if you're not going to be in Starkville, if you need MSU gear, place to go is Maroon & Co. If you're going to be out in the yard, if you're going to be behind the grill, if you're going to be working around the house, wherever you're going to be, if it's involved like that, a trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden is a must. They've got everything you need for everything you need, if that makes sense. And it's still going on right now, guys, the John Deere Drive Green Spring Sales Event. You know you want to get a new John Deere Gator, a commercial mower, a compact tractor. They've got 0% financing, up to 48 months on the first two, up to 72 months on those tractors. Nothing runs like a deer, and if you want your yard to look its best, you need to be supporting that John Deere green. So don't miss out. You still got through June 2nd to take advantage of this. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, or shop online at scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you want for less. We kind of buried the lead on today's show, but we have to talk about him, the new king of Mississippi State home run hitters, Hunter Hines. I'm going to ask you what was asked of me on Sports Talk Mississippi. What is the legacy of Hunter Hines at Mississippi State?
I think it was a guy that kind of at times was he'd go through some slumps, but he always seemed to kind of fight his way out of it eventually. And I would say probably, you know, the big thing was just he was a home run hitter. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was going to be a guy that came up with a lot of, you know, 0-2, two out, base hits up the middle, clutch hits up the middle, or going the other way with it. He was a guy that, you know, you could expect home runs from him. You're not going to get a lot of, like, looping singles in the outfield or anything. It was just he was a big bopper type hitter for the Bulldogs. And at the end of the day, you've got to be impressed with what he did as a Bulldog. He's tops in school history in home runs, top five in SEC history in home runs. That should mean something, and that's nothing to scoff at. To be top five in the greatest league in America in career home runs is impressive. He also is top five in RBI at Mississippi State, you know, top 10 in games played, top 10, I think, in at-bats as well. So a player that just kind of came in, did his thing. He went through a couple of, you know, tough moments during his career as far as droughts and things like that. He struck out a lot. I get that. But a humble kid, handled himself the right way, was very loyal to Mississippi State, worked hard, became a significantly better first baseman by the end of his career than when he came in. Mm-hmm. And he goes down as the greatest home run hitter of all time. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about, yeah, well, Rafael Palmeiro and Will Clark did this in 3 years. I totally get that. The game was a lot different, too, in those two eras of baseball. Pitchers have gotten better. Pitchers have started throwing harder. It was a different bat at that time. It's two different, totally different eras. I don't think you can compare the two.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, Rafael Palmeiro is, without a doubt, a top five baseball player in Mississippi State history. I don't know if Hunter Hines is a top five baseball player in Mississippi State history, but he has his place in Mississippi State history as the greatest of all time at hitting home runs because he went out and proved.
I would love for him to get a postseason run here. It doesn't have to be Omaha. Just win the regional, go to the super regional. Just have a little extended postseason run to add to that legacy a little bit.
Yeah,
Hines is not a really media savvy, and I don't mean that's not the right word. He doesn't like talking to the media. We'll just put it that way. If you watched his interview that he did with the Missouri guys, you could tell he's just a country boy. He wants to go out hit. My guess is a weekend of hitting home runs and shooting deer is probably a great weekend for Hunter Hines.
Yes.
So, but his legacy is very much one of, you know, what I've always said about Hines these past few weeks is that. Never a doubt when he got hold of one. There was never like, ooh, that might be out. You know,
it never like just
in the press box and we're like, sometimes we're like, ooh, that might be out. And then, you know, it's off the wall or they catch it at the track. Not with Hines. It's always gone. As soon as it's off the bat, gone. Start tweeting. Start putting it in the message board thread. Gone.
Yes, he would absolutely destroy balls. And that the 68th home run was
crushed.
For it to land on the roof of that facility was perfect. That's exactly what it needed to be.
Exactly.
And I still remember the longest home run I've ever seen him hit was at Missouri a couple years ago when he launched that one to right field there that season. It's 2022, maybe. Yeah. It might have been 23. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But just absolutely destroyed one to right field.
Yeah. You know what the home run that stands out to me for him is, and it's a game State lost, was in Oxford last year. In extra innings, he sent one into the night. It looked like a meteorite. I was like, good Lord. But then State couldn't hold the lead. But like that, I don't know, man. That's the one that stands out for me for whatever reason. But again, every home run that guy has ever hit has been a tank. It's never a doubter. So congrats to Hunter Hines. Obviously, fantastic achievement. We'll see how much distance he can put between himself and Palmeiro. Also enjoyed seeing Palmeiro's video for Mississippi State. My guess is they recorded that a couple months ago. That wasn't done on the fly, if I had to guess.
Exactly.
All right. Tomorrow's show, we got SEC preview to do for football. We may have some basketball news tomorrow. As when I say tomorrow, Robbie, I mean Monday. So for Monday for Tuesday, because we're a long way off. It is Saturday. But we'll talk about that on that show. We got a great show, great week lined up for you. We're going to talk some basketball, some baseball, some football, and some esports. I think we're going to have the national champion Mississippi State esports team on with us.
All right.
So I'm excited to talk to those guys. Have a great Monday, guys. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
You're the next one, then I'm about to kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.